Thank you so much, Miss Mickey. Psalm chapter 40. I hope that you have found your place tonight in the 40th division of the book of Psalm. If you found your place, say amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord for it. Psalm chapter 40. I'm going to read one verse of scripture to you this evening and build a few thoughts around that. I have no intention of being long at all because I explained why a moment ago, but I did want to share this with you. It's been on my heart. Look with me in verse number 8. Verse number 8, some of you may recognize this. The psalmist David here declares, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. Isn't that wonderful? Thank you so much for standing. I want to speak to you for a little while this evening around this thought, a delightful destiny. A delightful destiny. A week or two or so ago, Melissa and I were driving down the road, and for whatever reason, we were talking about our funerals. You know, the songs that you're going to sing, the speakers that you're going to have speak, different verses of scripture that you're going to have shared. Now, whenever you start talking about your own death and going over the details of it, it is a very invigorating conversation. Our daughters love it when we talk about that. But by the way, let me go ahead and say at this point, folks, it is a difficult and uncomfortable conversation to have, but it is an important conversation to have. To make preparations, because if the Lord tarries, every one of us in here are going to cross that bridge one day. We're going to go through the struggle of what we believe is death, the valley of the shadow of death. It's good to talk about, even though it's uncomfortable. It's something to consider. Back a few years ago, three years ago, gave out a handout. Y'all looked at me real weird when I did this, to plan your own funeral. To write down who you wanted to preach your funeral, what songs you wanted to use, what scripture you wanted, different things like that, to be prepared for this reality of death. The scripture teaches us that it is appointed unto man once to die. It's just good stewardship to get our house in order, isn't it? To make sure that we are prepared for this guaranteed moment when it does come. Now, while in this conversation that Melissa and I were having, she asked me again what some of my favorite verses of scripture were. I said, there are several of them. She said, I know. And it was with that that she opened her Bible and she began naming off different references that I had given her over the years of some of my favorite passages of Scripture. What I did not know is over these past few years, every time I would make a verbal note of something that was dear to me in God's Word, she would open up a page in her Bible and she would write that Scripture down, so she would always have record of it. There were several that I had that she was naming off, but one of them was right here in Psalm chapter 40 and verse number 8. This is a verse of Scripture that has impacted my life for several different reasons for many, many years now. One of the reasons this verse is so dear to my heart is because this was the verse that the Lord gave me when He was dealing with my heart about surrendering my life to preach the Word of God. This is a very dear scripture to me. As a matter of fact, anytime that I sign a card or a letter, or if I may give a Bible to somebody or whatever the case may be, I will always sign my name and write out beside it, this is one of the verses that I will write. Psalm chapter 40 and verse number 8. It's very dear to my heart. Again, the Bible declares, I delight to do thy will. He says, oh my God, yea, thy law is within my heart. In preparation for this particular Wednesday night, based off of our conversation and based off of how that I had written this verse down for a few people of late, this was very fresh in my heart. I could not seem to get away from it. I've shared a few different aspects of this verse with you before, which is why that I said it may be familiar to some of you. But I wanted to come back to it tonight because I felt that it was extremely appropriate for the particular season of life that many of us are in right now. If you have children, this is a very, very difficult and stressful week for you. Every time this time of year comes around, it's a week of the year I frankly, in some ways, really, really dread because they are now getting back into the mold of school. Summer is over. School is beginning. Of course, this whole year has been different in every way. If you have been laid off of work or working from home, some businesses are starting to get back up again. Some of you work in the education field, and you are now also, after 5 or so months of being at the house, you are now also getting back into your normal schedule, getting the kids up at the early hour. Because of COVID-19, everything has changed. The fact of the matter is, as we go through this week, and when we consider this matter of our service to the Lord and us being faithful to Him in every way, fact of the matter is, ladies and gentlemen, if we're going to serve God and if we're going to be faithful to Him, right now, this week marks the time when things are really about to get a whole lot more difficult for people to be faithful to the Lord. This is a time when folks really struggle and they get tired and they wear out. And I understand all of that. I really do. And the first thing it seems that we'll try to do is we will try to cut our church attendance out. We'll stop doing the activities for the Lord because it's so much more difficult now, having to go back to work ourselves, having to get the kids up and back into school after being out for 5 months. That's a real big challenge, not just the summer, but for 5 months. The truth is, serving the Lord and being faithful to Him is something that is really and truly going to be so much more difficult. So much of what Psalm chapter 40, especially verse number 8, it is dealing with is David's praise to God for how the Lord had delivered him from a great trouble and a great trial in his life, a struggle that he was having. Wonder tonight how many of us can testify to the fact that God's been good to us and brought us through some trials, some troubles, and some tribulations in our life. It is sometimes so easy for us that we put all of our attention and we focus only on the difficulty and we allow the difficulty to overshadow the deliverance of God that He has given us while in the middle of that difficulty. Aren't we all guilty of that? One of the many things that I love about the psalmist David is how that he rarely, if ever, did that. David was a guy that even in the dark days of his life, he never ceased to record in God's Word his praise to the blessed name of God for how good the Lord had been to him and how the Lord had always delivered him. And he always let us know that. May that be a lesson to us. When the Lord does something good to us, shout it from the housetops. How good the Lord is and how He delivered us from the trial of our life. Now after seeing God move in David's life, He then gave us the words of verse number 8. And when we look at the words of verse number 8, we can even call them a pledge of sorts that because of the goodness of God and the deliverance of God, he was going to faithfully serve the Lord. It was a motivation to him when he looked back and he saw how good the Lord had been. He determined in his heart he was going to please God. Tonight, the primary reason why I wanted to talk to us about this, as I understand, things are difficult this week. They've been challenging at my house as everybody's getting back to school and such. And it's challenging for you and those of you that are going back to work after a layoff or going back from a situation where you've been working from home or whatever it is. These are some challenging days. They really are. But right here, the second week of August is usually a time coming into September where we start kicking things back up after the summer. So tonight I wanted to challenge our hearts that though things are more difficult this week than they may have been last week, that is not a reason for us to slack on our service to the Lord and just be faithful to God. Sometimes I say that the rain will fall. Sometimes I say the week will get difficult just to see how real we are. I believe that with all my heart. The Lord will test us and the devil will tempt us just to see how real we are to be faithful to God. There's never been one time that I've made every effort to get to the house of God or be faithful in the work of God that I have ever regretted it. The Lord always did something to help me through it all. I'm just going to quickly share three thoughts with you here that I'm calling tonight, a delight of destiny, a delight of destiny. And there's some things here I think we can learn and the scripture will help us. Notice first of all that we see right here that there is the present pleasure that David speaks of. The present pleasure. You see the first two words of verse number 8 says, I delight. Read it with me. I delight. I delight. Are you delighting in anything today? Or did you come in here just weighed down and there was just so little delight in your heart, in your life? That's not where David was in this text. David lets us know in the first two words. He says, I delight. Those first two words give us a very clear idea where David's mindset was and where his life and his heart was at this time. This word delight that he uses, it means right here to be well pleased, to be favored. In other words, God has just been good to me and I'm acknowledging that goodness to the Lord. When we study the life of David, it doesn't take us long to learn leading up to this particular division in the psalm. It doesn't take us long to learn David had had some bad days. David had had some difficult circumstances in our life. David was no different than you and I. Some of us walked in here tonight dragging and struggling, and again, not critical of that. I understand the difficulty of these lives, but David is a guy that had some tough days, some difficult circumstances of life. He had some days that were just so exhausting to him that he did not feel like going on anymore. He was constantly on the run from a bunch of stuff, fleeing from a bunch of stuff in his life. It just seemed like that he was stressed out all of the time because of the pressure of life that was on him. He was carrying these very real burdens in his life. Very little hope David had sometime of any type of optimism in the future. And there were days he just did not want to carry on. There were times when it was hard for old David to be well pleased with the circumstances of his life, just to be encouraged with everything, to be favorable about everything that was going on with the circumstances that he was dealing with. But folks, you see, in the context of Psalm chapter 40, somewhere, not so far in the distant past of David's life, something had transpired in David's life that caused him to turn the corner of controversy. It caused him to start smiling again. It caused him to start having a little bit more hope and a little bit more optimism in the circumstances of his life. Something had happened in his life that had changed all of those things. The fact of the matter is, it was the deliverance of God. God had showed up in his life. Many of us walked into this building tonight, and there's no doubt that we are having a hard time being well pleased with the circumstances of our life. Our families may not be anywhere near where we thought they would be at this stage in our life. Sometimes it's just difficult for us to be able to delight. Our physical bodies may be in decay in this way. They may be aging in this way or another. And sometimes the struggles of that just makes it difficult for us to delight. The stress of everything that is going on with this worldwide pandemic and all the ripples effect that we are having with it. Folks, sometimes that's overwhelming to us, and it's just hard for us to delight. Sometimes we feel like we're run. We're running from everything. We're constantly on defense. We cannot seem to get on offense in our life. And many times it is just hard for us to delight. Many times we're just stressed out. Many of us just don't handle pressure well. And in the middle of all of that, it is hard. It is difficult for us to delight. Folks, listen very closely to me, please. The devil will see to it, and I mean he will. He will see to it that our world will be full of all kinds of reasons for us to lose our joy. He'll see to it that he's going to make our world a mess, because he knows that if he steals our joy, he's going to have us on the path that's going to lead us into that discouragement. It'll affect our service for God. It'll affect our witness in the world. We'll lose our smile. We won't be able to give the glow of God off of our face. The devil knows that, and the devil knows that he will then affect the work of God that is so dear. He'll put stuff in our lives just to make it stressful and messy and reasons for us to lose our joy. But the only way that he'll ever be able to succeed is if we allow him to do that. There comes a time, there comes a point when we just simply have to make a choice that we are going to turn the corner of controversy. We're going to have to make the choice that we're going to start smiling again through the sorrow. We're going to have to make a choice that we are going to have optimism in the middle of a world that gives us very little hope, no hope really, outside of God and the goodness He's shown to us. We just going to have to make a choice that swim, sink, or drown, we're going to honor the Lord. We're going to be faithful to the Lord. We're going to have delight in our heart, come what may. David came to that point in his own life. Oh, David made a choice. He was going to delight in the Lord. There was the present pleasure that David says. He said, I delight. But notice, secondly, that we also see the precious purpose as well. The only reason David could delight in the Lord is because God gave him something. He gave him a purpose. We see it further in verse number 8. He says, I delight. What's he delighting in? To do thy will. He said, I just won't please you, Lord. All I care about is delighting in God, following the path that God has given me to live and to do in this life. Do you delight to do the will of God? Is it the burning passion of your heart to honor Him and to do His will come what may? David is referring to a moment in his life when he literally surrendered everything over to the will of God. He said, it doesn't matter. I'm going to serve the Lord. I'm going to do my best for the Lord. There are multiple recorded instances all through the pages of Scripture in the life of David that tells us that old David did struggle. He fought with surrendering to the will of God. He battled his flesh. He struggled with doing what the Lord had for him. David had the same dreams and desires that all of us had. David had ambitions. He was made of the same flesh that we are all made of. David had periods in his life. I mean, periods in his life where it seemed every turn that he made in his life, he ran into a brand new roadblock. And he could not seem to get traction. He could not seem to be able to get his feet together on the ground, to be able to make strides forward. But in spite of all of those different things, David still had a heart for God. Deep down inside of David, the psalmist, he longed to please God. He had a heart for the Lord. And there came a point over a period of time that his longing for the Lord, it then became to take over all of his heart. His heart for God began to take over his heart for gold. His heart for God began to take over his heart for grandiose gain in his life, to be able to climb the ladder of success. See, when God gets into our heart and He gets down deep into our heart, He begins dealing with us, it'll become more important to please God than it will to gain every bit of gold and silver and placement that this world could have ever given to us. David came to that point where he knew that he could not, that he could live. He could live without all the popularity, all the power, and all of the palaces, all of those dreams and desires. But he came to that point where he realized he could not live without God. He could not live a day without the sweet presence of the Lord in his life. There have been so many times, I admit to my shame, where my ambition was greater than God's ambition. My dreams were bigger than God's dreams and God's desires for my life. And I mean, I struggled with surrendering to the will of God. And I'm sure every one of you have here as well. But I tell you, deep down in my soul, I want there to be a burning that is bigger than all of those other things. That over time, I come to the point that it doesn't matter what it is. I want to give everything I've got to the Lord. I don't want to worry about the popularity and the power and the palaces of this life. I just want to serve God and I want to please Him and surrender to Him in every aspect of this life. Verse number 8, it is telling us that David learned that the greatest benefit of surrendering his life to the Lord was how that a surrendered life led to happiness. All the other stuff, all the other roads, they are not a road to happiness. And David learned the greatest benefit was not for how it led to a palace, was not for how it led to the popularity or the power, but it led to happiness. It led to having a delight in his life. It was never a life of perfection that David had. We know that. It was not always a life of ease. It was not always a life of no stress that he had. But even with all of the difficulties and even the failures that David had deep within his heart, he knew that he had a purpose and he knew that he had eternal value in the things he was living for eternity. David knew that all those other things would eventually work out. If he would just do the will of God, honor God with it all, he knew that if he put the Lord first, the New Testament truth of seek ye first the kingdom of God, David believed all these other things would be added on to him. Everything else was going to be all right. We've got to learn to live for eternity. We've got to learn to live a life of purpose. Let all the other details work out according to the will of God. I tell you, you're looking at a guy right now who lives far less than a perfect life. I tell you, I'm so messed up. I'm so far from perfect. I live far less than a perfect life. I don't live the greatest life of ease. I have an easy life, as most of us do, compared to many standards. But I tell you, I don't live a stress-free life. From the bottom of my heart, you're looking at a guy who wants to be totally surrendered to the will of God. No matter what it might be, no matter where it might lead me, no matter what it might cost me, I want to lay myself day in and day out on the altar of God, the sacrificial altar of God, and pour myself out, empty myself out, and say, dear God, I've got one life to live. This one life will soon pass, and only what's done for Christ is what's going to last. I want to invest in the ministry you've given me, the people you've given me, the opportunities to win a dying world to Jesus. I want to do my best in the middle of that. I want to be in the will of God, no matter what it might be. Amy Carmichael, the great missionary, the great servant of the Lord, she said these words. They captured my mind. She said, there is only one way of victory over the bitterness and ruin that comes naturally to us. To will what God wills brings peace. To will what God wills brings peace. If we will just surrender to the will of God, we will have peace in our life. I imagine most of us here tonight are still holding some of the keys of the heart's doors that we have within us. There are some things we have not let go, and we are dealing with such difficulty, and there are things that we just don't have delight in because there's things we've not totally given over and surrendered to the Lord. You see, doing the will of God, it leaves us no time for disputing about His plan. Doing the will of God leaves us no time in disputing about His plan. If you surrender your life to do God's will, it really doesn't matter what He does for you, what He does to you, or where He sends you. If you just go ahead and surrender and say, Lord, I'm going to do Your will, no matter what it is, then you've already surrendered to whatever it might be, and He'll give clarity in the rest of it. Can you honestly, friends, say that the road that you are walking right now for the Lord has given you total delight in your life? Do you have total delight? I mean, you just got a happiness down in here. That peace. That joy that could only come from God. Did you walk in here tonight with a true delight in your life? If not, the reality is somewhere there's probably something that is not totally surrendered over to Him. Like the girls sing, I can have joy when I have nothing. I can have peace when it just doesn't make sense. I can rest content just knowing that His mercy has me. Many of us are not at that point. If we don't have that delight that David speaks of, there's a very good reality. We are not surrendered in some way in our life. There is the present pleasure that David had. I delight. Then he talks about the will of God. That's what he wanted to do. It was a precious purpose. God had his whole heart. But notice thirdly that we see right here, there is also the protected possession. The protected possession. I delight to do thy will. Oh my, he says. Oh my. He identifies, hey, God is mine, he is saying. He just don't believe it belongs to somebody else. I think sometimes we get the idea God will only do great things to the life of somebody else. David here is saying, no, God can do some great things in my life because I've seen him do some great things in the past. He'll do some greater things in the future. He says, oh my God. Then he says, yay. Do you see that word yay? That word yay right there. It is meaning emphatically and cheerfully. Yes, 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 he is saying. Mia, from time to time, whenever she is desiring something from us to give her something or us to allow her to do something, and if we grant it, she will immediately go into celebration mode and emphatically and cheerfully exclaim, yes, yes, yes. Oh, I'm so glad. Yes, yes, yes. What David is saying when we see these words right here is David is saying, yes, I am experiencing some season of delight in my life that I've never known before. Yes, I am in the perfect will of God in a way that I've never known before. But here's why. The rest of verse number 8 says, thy law is within my heart. Do you see that? What really led to the delight in David's life is that David was right with God. David got cleaned up before God. In other words, what David is saying, the psalmist right here, he was saying that I am abiding by the commands of God. There came a point when I just got right with God. I cleaned up my life. We notice that the Bible says right here, within my heart. When he uses those words, within my heart, it means that no matter what may come my way, no matter how badly I may mess this thing up in the future, and no matter how much I may have to pay a high, high price for my mess ups in the future, I got this thing within my heart. It is stamped within my heart. I know God is real. I know that He's done a good work in my life. I know that He'll use my life if I stay clean, if I stay in His will. I know I can delight in Him. I've stamped Him on the inside of my heart, and there's nothing that the forces of hell can do to take that away from me. I've put Him in my heart. Is He really that deep in your heart? There can be no more of a precious benefit of being a child of God than just having the Word of God and the promises of God stamped within our heart. I'm so thankful that God used some people in my life as a little boy and growing up, as a teenager, and even as a young man, to stamp some things within my heart. They are there. And even though I may sometimes stray from them, of what I know to be right, and I will through the life, and I have in the past, they are still there. They are stamped within my heart. I cannot get in there. I cannot erase those things. It is stamped within my heart. Mom and Dad, this is why we had better get our babies as much God as we possibly can while they're young and while they are under our authority. I'm not talking about a dose of God. I'm not talking about an impression of God or an image of God or a form of godliness. No, no, I'm talking about an instilling of the real, the living God of glory within their heart, that as they grow older, they will never, never be able to get rid of it. There will always be something on the inside of them that says, I know I've messed up. I know I've gone down a wrong road, but there's something within me, that conscious for God that I learned so many years ago that I cannot get rid of, and it's deep down within my heart. It's within me, and I can't erase it, no matter how much I may want to, or no matter how much I may have made mistakes in the past and messed everything up. Every year when we come back from youth camp, for the past 5 or 6 years, I've gone out of my way to encourage parents not to pour cold water on the hot embers of the heart of the teenager that has just met with God. been with the Lord in a special way. I've tried my best to encourage it. But I tell you, somehow, every year, that flame gets fizzled out. And the only thing that I know I can identify toward this problem is it goes back to you, Mom and Dad. It goes back to me as a pastor, people in this church. It goes back to us because we didn't do enough to fan that flame. Somewhere along the road, they saw a lack of faithfulness in our life. They saw something that just wasn't real like they'd seen somewhere else in the rest of our lives. And then they went back into the school system. They got back into their normal routine, into a place where they did not have the influence and the environment of the Lord that they had become accustomed to in those previous experiences. And the devil began to make their hearts cold in things, and they began to drift away from the things of God. Moms and dads, some of our babies, mine included, they came back with an experience of God like they had never had. The presence of God a couple of weeks ago that they had never experienced before. And may I encourage us again, if we really want our children to delight in the will of God and the law of God, may we understand that today is our choice. Before we send them back into the school, may we see a mom and a dad that gets into the house of God, a mom and a dad that pulls them around the couch at night and has prayer and a Bible time with them, a mom and dad that does what they have to do to serve God. If we won't do it, they won't do it. And it is that simple. Sometimes it doesn't matter how tired we are, how stressed out we are. This thing's not about us. It's about a generation that needs God that is coming up behind us. And we've got to make some sacrifices to get God to this next generation and in our families that we have. When God really gets into their hearts and He really gets into their lives, nothing will ever change that. They'll always have it there. And though they may drift away, there will come a time when they refer back to it because it's there. They can't get rid of it. And I believe that general principle that they will not depart from it. May every one of us tonight have a delight in destiny, what God has for us in our life. Because these days are difficult. These days aren't going to get any easier. May some of us make some choices tonight that come what may, we're just going to please God. We're going to delight in Him, no matter how hard it gets. We're going to do the will of God, no matter how hard it gets. We're going to instill it with our heart and within their heart. Maybe some of us need to make some choices tonight. Let's stand to our feet in the presence.